John's Gospel, chapter number 14. John's Gospel, chapter number 14. We'll be there in the Scripture in just a moment. John 14. If I were to ask the question today, how many of you love Jesus, and ask for a show of hands, I have no doubt this morning that the vast majority, and maybe even all of us, without hesitation, throw up our hands and say, of course we love Jesus. I could even ask if there are those among us who would like to stand up and give a testimony of your love for Jesus. And I have no doubt that many of you would freely stand and give a testimony, testifying of His love for you and your love for Him. That's a good thing. Both of those things are good things to do. We know that we love Him because He first loved us. 1 John 4:19. Well, we should be quick to testify of our love for Jesus after all that He's done for us. And there really shouldn't be any hesitation at all when it comes to that. Psalm 107 verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Because all that God's done for us, we should testify of our love for Him. Often we sing songs that speak of our love for Jesus. And that's also a good thing, because we're to sing praises unto Him, aren't we? We're to sing praises of His love for us, and lift up our voices also in songs of singing praise unto Him and of our love for Him. Psalm 13 verse 6 says, "I will sing unto the Lord because He hath dealt bountifully with me." And we know that's true. The Lord has dealt bountifully with each of us. We got so much to be thankful for. We got so much to have an outpouring of our love toward Him for. Psalm 30 verse 4 says, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness." Psalm 95 verse 1 says, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." So even if you can't sing, at least you can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hebrews 13 and verse 15 says, "By Him," speaking about Jesus Christ, "by Him let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." But I want us to stop in our tracks this morning as we think about our love for the Lord. And I want us to hear Him speak here to His disciples, calling them and calling us to show their love to Him in a very specific way. Look at John 14 and verse number 15. This is the verse we want to deal with today. Jesus said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Pretty plain and simple, isn't it? We can lift our hands and talk about how we love Jesus, and we should do that. We could testify with our mouth that we love Jesus, and we should do that. We can sing of songs of praise and sing because we do love Jesus, and we should. But do we keep Jesus' commandments, showing Him and others of our love for Him? When they see us, when Jesus looks at us, can He tell our love for Him by the way that we live? Does our life show that we love Jesus? Do our actions prove our love for Jesus? Are the choices that we make based on our love for Jesus? Would others testify of our love for Jesus from what they see and know about how we live? As a pastor, I spend a fair amount of time in funeral homes. At time of visitation, when the family is receiving friends there as their loved one has passed on to the next life. And at those visitations, I learn what the deceased was passionate about. I can tell by the conversation of their friends and family. Sometimes I found that some were passionate about their family, and that's a good thing. We ought to be passionate about our family and the ones we love. I'm passionate about my family. I love them. Sometimes I find that people are passionate about maybe a particular sport or sports team. Others, it might have been hunting or fishing, or maybe it might have been cooking or food. And I could go on. There's many things people talk about. Nothing inherently wrong with any of those things. It's good that a person enjoys life. God intended for our life to be enjoyed. But there's something that always causes me to take notice as I listen to people talk about their loved one. And that's when someone speaks of the love that the deceased had for Jesus and how that love was evident not only in their words but also in their life, how they lived for the Lord. Some of you know that I lost a preacher friend in the pandemic. Friend of mine, as I was in Indiana for 8.5 years there ministering in Parker City, had a preacher friend by the name of Larry Bowling that was in a nearby town. And he died this past year. And as I viewed the post at the funeral home's webpage about what folks were saying about Brother Larry, it struck me. Some talked about his being a good preacher and a family man, which he was. But what really stood out were the ones that mentioned his love for the Lord. And I knew of his love for the Lord. Got me to thinking about what folks might say about my life. When I die, it's not my goal for people to only say, yeah, Brother Jerry was a good preacher and teacher of the Word. He was a good pastor, and he was a loving husband, father, and grandfather. Those things are nice, and I hope they're said definitely about me. But what I want people to say is, you could sure tell by his life that he loved Jesus. You could sure tell by his life that he loved the Lord. So this morning I want you to do with me, let's do some self-examination this morning. What about us? When people see us, can they see and know of our love for the Lord by the life that we're living? Do they see a life of obedience to the Lord's commands in us? And I've got to tell you, I don't think that's a priority in most believers' lives today. Just really not. Not from what I'm seeing. People are moving away from their service for God and their faithfulness to God. But what would the Lord, it's good that other folks take notice. But let's think about what would the Lord say of us? About our love for Him. Is that thought convicting to us as we think of how we're living? What does our obedience to Him or our lack of obedience to Him tell of our love? Now, throughout His Word, the Lord confronts His people and addresses their inconsistent actions before Him. I want you to turn with me to one of these places in Joshua chapter number 24. Joshua chapter number 24. And here in Joshua, we find Joshua, who succeeded Moses, and he was the one that was led the people of Israel into the land that God promised them, led them on the conquest there to take over Canaan land. And we know that he loved God. We know of his strong stance. But I want you to look at what the Lord said to Joshua, to his people in Joshua 24, because this is really what the Lord was saying through Joshua. He told Joshua what to say to the people. The first thing we see is there was a review of the Lord's blessings. Now, I'm not going to read verses 1 through 13, but let me challenge you to go through there and look at everything that God said he did for the nation of Israel. And how many times the Lord referred to himself and his works among his people. He says, I did this, and I did that for you, and I did this. Over and over again, you will see it in those first 13 verses. And then we get down to verse number 13, and we say, and in the last one, he says, and I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and the olive yards which ye planted not do ye eat. Verse 14. Now therefore, in other words, based upon all that I've done for you, God says, based upon all my works among you and all the things that I have done on your behalf, It says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So there was a review of the Lord's blessings. There was the rehearsing of their responsibilities. Here, their responsibilities were to fear God and serve Him and put away the idols out of their life. We see there was a denial of there being any problem. Now, we know the history of the Israelites, don't we? And it's not really a pleasant thing to look at how many times they turned away from the Lord. But look at verse number 16. And here's their answer. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It's already happened. And here they are in denial of it. Verse 17, for the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. In other words, they're acknowledging here that the Lord's been good to them, but they deny that they have had any problem really serving the Lord and fearing Him like they ought to. When we see the reality of their nature, verse number 19 to 20, Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He had done you good. Now, the reality was they were fooling themselves here. And we see, though, that they were willing to renew their covenant to the Lord, and Joshua had them to do that. In verse 21, and the people said unto Joshua, Nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. And what does he have to say then? Now therefore put away, said he, strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. He knew that they were already in trouble before they even got started. They had things they needed to get rid of in their life. I want you to look also at Malachi chapter number 1. Malachi chapter number 1. And we see again here many things that we could point to in the Old Testament of where the people would say one thing with their mouth, but they would show another thing with their words and their actions. Malachi 1, verse number 6. The Lord says here, it says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts, unto you? O priests that despise my name, and you say, wherein have we despised thy name? He says, ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And ye offer, if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? We see that their actions did not line up with their words. They would say they love the Lord, but with their actions, it was obvious that it was less than what it should be. Listen, if we were only as faithful and devoted to our job as we are to Jesus, would we still be employed? If we were only as faithful and devoted to our spouse as we are to Jesus, how would that affect our home life? Would things be okay? would you even still be married? If we paid our bills like we pay our tithes, would that be a good thing, or would we have our creditors hounding us? If we were only as obedient to man's laws as we are to God's commands, would we still be free, or would we be behind bars? I want us to consider these things for a little while today as we ask the question, how much do we love Jesus? How much do we love Jesus? And we need to understand this, that Jesus is not persuaded by our words alone. Now, he likes to hear it for you to say, I love you. But could I tell you, your actions are much more important. He sees directly into our heart, and he sees everything that we do and knows the reality of our love by what we do. We may fool our friends, we may fool our family, we may fool our spouse, we may even fool ourselves, but we can't fool Jesus because Jesus knows our heart. And you know it's true this morning. We all at times can put on a facade that other people see, but God knows the reality of what's in the heart. So let's get real today. How much do we love Jesus? First of all, let's consider what Jesus said is the evidence of our love for Him. John 14:15, in our text, He says, if you love Me, keep My commandments. Now notice that Jesus begins this statement with, if. If we really do love Jesus, there will be evidence, and Jesus makes it clear what the evidence of love for Him will be, and that is obedience. He's looking for obedience in our life. How obedient are we to the Lord Jesus Christ? Can the lost see and know that we are Christians by being around us and watching our daily lives, or are our lives not much different than their lives? Sadly, there are too many today who want to live life their own way, and too few Christians that are doing their best to obey Jesus. Too many professing believers only want to do what they want to do and when they want to do it. They totally miss the concept that we are not our own, but we belong to the Lord. Talking about 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Does your life glorify God? The Apostle John not only recorded Jesus' words here in this gospel, but he reiterates this truth over in his epistle in 1 John chapter number 2. I'm just going to read the verses to you. It says here in 1 John 2, verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. Now, that doesn't mean that believers will not sometimes fail. We still fall short of God's glory from time to time. But it does mean that there will be obedience in the hearts of those who truly love the Lord. And you can't go and just totally live for your life and think that you're going to show anybody that you really love Jesus, including Jesus. Anyone can say they love the Lord, but the proof or the evidence is in the obedience to the Lord. Second thing I want us to do is let's examine our love for Jesus. Okay, we say we love the Lord, and the Lord said, well, the proof is going to be in obeying My commands. Let's examine our love for the Lord. We know in Matthew chapter number 25, our Lord and Savior talked about that our love for God was one of the primary, actually the first commandment. In Matthew 22, verse 35-40, he was being questioned by a lawyer that was trying to tempt him, and said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? In Matthew 22 and verse 37, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So do we obey the greatest commandment? How is our love for the Lord? Many will proclaim their love for the Lord and even that He is first in their life. But then what happens is they place someone else in the place where the Lord should be. They place something else or someone else. But if we truly love the Lord, He will have the preeminence in all things in every area of our life. This morning, does He have the preeminence in your life, or are there times when something else or someone else is placed ahead of Him? Listen, the more we let people and things, even the desires of our flesh, get in the way of our love for the Lord, it's easier for us to do that same thing again. Okay? And if the Lord is first in our love, it will show in what we do. It'll show up first of all in our church attendance. Now, if you're sick, you don't need to be here. I'm not talking about sick. What we're talking about in church attendance, we're talking about when you could be here and when you know you should be here, but you make a conscious effort to do something else rather than obey the Lord. Hebrews 10:25, we know, talks about that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The late Dr. Adrian Rogers said this. He said, every time you willingly choose not to attend a worship service, you are casting a vote to close the doors to the church. It's true. As a pastor, it's very frustrating to spend hours upon hours digging into the Word, preparing messages, and then have so few here to hear them, because to so many, it's not a priority for them to be here. Now, many of you, it's a priority. You've made it a priority in your life, and you're here. I'm talking about those folks who, there's some today, I guarantee you, you could go out to the TPC golf tournament that's being played in Jacksonville right now. I guarantee you, you can find some professing believers out there. You'll have people that are out there that say they love Jesus, but yet they're not in the house of God this morning. They would complain about the temperature in here, but they're out there where it's freezing cold watching a golf tournament. And I know what I'm talking about, because when I first came here over 13 years ago, it happened in this church, and I'm talking about somebody who was coming here who was in church leadership at the time. Oh, preacher, by the way, I need to let you know I'm not going to be there Sunday. We got tickets to the TPC, and me and my sons were going to go out to the TPC. It happened. During football season, some will forsake the church services to go watch the Jaguars play. That's happened also recently. It has. I've had people ask me to pray for their family members who are not in church, which I gladly do. I pray, you know, when you ask me to pray for your family members that they might get in church, I pray for them. But listen, if you ask me to pray for them, and then you miss church to go do something secular on the Lord's Day with those same ones you asked me to pray for, you know you're undoing what I'm trying to do by my prayers. What kind of influence are you having in their life? We're just getting real this morning, okay? If the Lord is first place in our love, it will show in our church attendance. If the Lord is first place, if He's our first love, it's going to show not only in our church standards, but it's also going to show in our tithes and offerings. We were in Malachi just a little while ago, and there's in chapter 3 of Malachi, the Lord talked about His people robbing Him. How can we rob God? Consider the fact that all that we have belongs to God, and God's gracious enough to allow us to keep the majority of what He has blessed us with. And He only asks for a very small portion in return. That portion is called the tithe. You don't have to wonder what the tithe is. It's 10%. That's what the word means. It's a 10%. But when God's people held back and then give Him His tithes and offerings, He said that His people robbed Him. Suppose God, and just think with me about this, suppose God was only as faithful to give to us financially in proportion to how faithful we are to give to Him financially. Some of us would do real well. Some would not do very well at all. What if you had to live this week off of 9 times what you gave to the Lord last week? How would that have gone for you? If everyone in the church gave like you, would that be good for our church? Or would we have to close the doors because we wouldn't have the money to keep the lights on to pay the other bills? Like I said, we're just getting real. We're talking about the proportion. We're not talking about the dollar amount. We're talking about the proportion. God blesses us. We all make different amounts of money. But the proportion that the Lord asks for is the same. What about the missionaries that we support that rely on our church? Where would that leave them at? We need to give the Lord what's right, not what's left. So if the Lord is first in our love, it will show in our church attendance, it will show in our tithes and offerings, but here's where it really meets the road here. Number 3, it will show itself in our service for the Lord. In our service for the Lord. Paul said in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Kind of the same way that the Lord had Joshua tell the people about the mercies that He brought in their life. Beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now we may say we love the Lord, but what are we doing to serve Him? Just think about it. What are we doing to serve Him? And understand that just coming to church is not serving the Lord. Each person who is saved is a part of Christ's body and is to be an active member of a local New Testament church doing His will. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. If we are His body, and we are, why aren't His arms reaching to others? Why aren't His hands serving and helping? Why aren't His feet going? In my 40 plus years ministry for the Lord, I've heard about every excuse that folks can give for not serving the Lord. I've heard it all. I understand that we might offer excuses, but that doesn't mean they are acceptable before the Lord. And the reality is that most of us, we usually find a way to do the things that we want to do. Let's just cut out the fat. You're going to do what you want to do, right? If you really want to do it, you're going to find a way, aren't you? We need to ask ourselves, what does Jesus see and know of my love for Him? Am I just making excuses, or is it that I really don't want to? Jesus is not fooled with our words. He sees our heart and our actions. Or our inaction. So if we say, I love Jesus, Jesus' words here say, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we keep the commandments because we love Him, not for the purpose of being saved, getting saved. We don't get saved by the things that we do for the Lord. We do things for the Lord because we are saved. Okay? Now, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, He expects each one of us to serve Him in some way. If you don't know the Lord, all the service in the world is not going to do you any good. You need to come to know Jesus. You need to trust in His Word so that you can properly love the Lord the way that you should. If you don't know Him today, come today. And if you do know Him, I know it's been a tough message. Okay? I don't do a lot of these. But the times that we're in, we need to be shook up. We need to be woke up. And let's realize that the Lord is looking at us. And He's the one that counts. And what does He know of us? We know what He wants of us. If you love me, keep my commandments. But what does He know of us? Let's get real with Him and be what we ought to be for Him in these last days. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the salvation we enjoy. And because of that salvation that You've given to us, and Lord, many other blessings that come along the way because of that salvation, there's so many spiritual blessings we've been blessed with. And Lord, we have access to the abundant life that You mentioned in John chapter number 10. And Lord, You've been so good. And we ought to freely give of ourselves to serve You. And Lord, I pray that we would stop making excuses and say, I'm going to serve God, determined to find out what the Lord's will for our life is, and then serve the Lord as we should. There's one here lost, help them to come to a saving knowledge of You today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.